brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We greet you from the lovely nation of Canada, on the road once again, denied from a ferry ride over to Victoria because of the winds and the range. But yeah, we get to greet you anyways. And got a little window so we can send a shout out to all of you and share also that which God has for us this day and this time. Also, in the car, on the way, the infamous member of the prayer of the Faith Mix team, Pat.
Hello.
Hey, also in the car, special treat, his lovely blushing bride in the back. Jana, say hi.
Hi. Hello.
Okay, good. So we got almost a full house this day. We got room for one more in the back. Yeah, so how are things? How things go in your part of the world where you are at, doing that which God has for you to do in such a time as this, in this season? You know, it's interesting. Pat and I were talking just a little bit earlier while we were driving about the blessing of God that follows the people of God. And, you know, as we walk through this life, see, one of the key things of your walk in this world is to be completely given over to that which, to the side which you've chosen. Because otherwise, you're just sort of in the middle ground. You're in no man's land, and that's no place for anybody. The toughest thing to do is straddle the fence. So if you're going to go the way of darkness in the world, go all in. Be the fullest Satanist that you can be. Don't just hang out somewhere in the middle. And if you're going to be a follower of light and truth, go all in. And because you know what? That is the way that you will see the fullness of that which you've given yourself over to. So, you know, the people that are on the side of the enemy, hey, you know, if you're going to do that and you're going to go on a grease pole to hell, you might as well go for it and go full on. And if you're going to be a follower of Christ and you're going to be a follower of truth, go for it. But don't sit in the middle ground in such a time as this, in the place where the world is right now, and just hang out in there, because you'll be picked off. Your life will it'll have come and gone, and that'll be it. So you might as well see the fullness of that which you're part of, because you know, when you look at even conflicts that took place in the scripture, you know, kings like Ahab, you know, with somebody like Elijah and Jezebel being mixed into that, you know, that's where you see the things taking place. And that's what you're going to see too, even in the world right now, is, you know, very much the world has gone, hold up. The conflict between light and dark, the conflict between truth and the lie, the conflict between kingdoms. Now, the one thing too is that, you know, I mean, ultimately, we all know and recognize that with the God that we serve, all he has to do in a moment is speak the word, and every power of the enemy is destroyed. I mean, even Jesus, when he was going to the cross, you know, one thing that he said was, you know, don't you know that, you know, if I was to ask my Father, he would at this moment send 12 legions of angels to, you know, to, but then he said, but how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? And so the thing is that in a moment, Jesus could have flipped that script, but he chose to lay down his life only to take it back up again. He chose to do that which was the instruction of the Lord, was that which was written about in the scripture. He chose to fulfill God's call and God's plan and God's purpose for him at that time. And likewise, you know, we choose. You know, we make a decision and we make a choice, and we fulfill the purpose that God has put in front of us. So, you know, in that process that we go through, you know, it does get hard sometimes, because also, you know, God's got to leave a level of balance in this thing, and he does that. I mean, you got to know too that you have help. You know, if you ask him, if you call out to him, he helps you. I mean, just as Jesus establish the way that it works, which is, you know, if you would ask of the Lord that he would send angels on your behalf. You know, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't ask. And you can ask God to send angels. You can ask God to send angels to help you. You can ask God to send angels to help your friends. You can ask God to send angels into situations. But he's the one that's in charge of it. We don't command those things. God commands them. We just have to do them as led by his Spirit. But God will send detachments from heaven to help us, you know, in the struggle and in the fight that we're now in. But also there's a fulfillment of his word and that which he's spoken, which you and I need to do. There's a fulfillment of those things that God has planned and intended that you and I walk through. And you got to know that every resource of heaven is available for us. That which God has put, you know, in the heavenlies is there for us to accomplish his purposes. And, you know, just like God can overthrow any kingdom with even one person that's fully given over to him, all it takes is just a complete giving over to his Spirit. And by that, you will see the glory of God fall. You will see the power of God manifest. You know, and cases in point are people like Elijah, are people like Moses. But Scripture's already told us that Elijah was a man just like us. And, you know, you need to know that, that these were people that were just like us. They had struggles, they had temptations, they had vexations of their own spirit. They got tired, they got fed up. They wanted to quit, they wanted to throw in the towel. All of them faced those things, like you and I do. But the key was they were fully given over to God's purposes, and they allowed God to carry them by his Spirit through life. And in the process of going through that, God also worked out something incredible with them in time. So you and I, we live now in time, and we live in a different time. And yet, you know, God's purposes are continuing to go forward in such a time as this. So, you know, it's important for people to pick their side. You know, it's important for people to go all in on whatever side that they're on. Because, and you know what? You might as well. You know, if you made a choice, you made a decision, go all in whatever side you've picked. Because you might as well see what the fulfillment of that is. And, you know, I mean, don't you want to really see, you know, what God would do with your life if you were completely given over to him? Wouldn't you rather know what that is than just spend the next 30, 40, 50 years kind of bouncing between the kingdom and the world and trying to see what kind of thing you can have or manipulate to work into your satisfaction? I mean, why? You know, I mean, and then your life is over. I mean, what was that all about? So, you know, with this too, we also know and recognize that God's presence is with us. God blesses us to make us a blessing, and God blesses others because we walk with him. You know, that blessing of God will overflow your life when you follow him, and it'll saturate everything else that's around you. That you can't help that, you can't avoid it. It's just a byproduct of walking with him. Case in point was the Ark of the Covenant. You know, when David was trying to bring it into the city of Jerusalem, and when he was attempting to do that, and a friend of his died because he tried to touch the Ark and he shouldn't have done that, and God was, you know, very serious about the way that he had set up, the way that people related to that, and the consequence of somebody breaking that, you know, even with good intention, was that person's life was gone. And David was afraid, and he parked the Ark of the Covenant short of coming into the city. And the place where he put it, you know, because that man, you know, housed it and did it with, you know, just was that place. Just because the Ark of the Covenant was there, the blessing of God followed into that house. And, you know, that's that there now. I mean, back then, the Ark of the Covenant was a representation of the presence of God. It was a representation of the mercy seat of God. It was a representation of the promises of God. Well, where are all those today? You know, they're not in temples. They're not in places of worship as such. Because we are the temples of the living God. You and I am a temple of the living God. We walk around. God's presence lives inside of us. You know, God has done that in us. And because of that, just like the Ark of the Covenant brought with it both a blessing and consequence, you know, a consequence if it was improperly related to, and blessing if it was properly related to. Likewise, you know, the same thing happens with us. For those that would hurt and harm the true people of the living God, they see the consequence of that. And for those that would bless the people of God, give shelter, give provision, give protection, give that which, you know, is right and true and good intention towards the Lord's people, they will also see the blessing of God. Even if they're not necessarily walking the right way with Him, but just because they, you know, as scriptures say, you know, if you bless a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. You bless a righteous man, you receive the righteous man's reward. Likewise, basically, you know, whatever you do, even if it's given a cup of cold water and to, you know, somebody because they're his disciple, you surely won't lose your reward. And when people do that for you, you will see it with your own eyes. You'll see the blessing of God coming upon those people's lives as well. So that's why, too, God makes us ambassadors for light and for truth in the world that we live in right now. Because as you fulfill His purposes, you also represent the kingdom. You represent the true kingdom of the living God, not the false one. And people need to know that there's light and truth available. People need to know that there's another way. Because though the world may offer a way, the way that the world offers, though it seems right unto man, the end thereof are the ways of death. And they kill, they destroy. Whereas the ways of God are a blessing and truth. So, you know, Pat, you've been seeing all this too, living it out in real time. You know, what do you see, man, with that which God's doing right now?
You know, for me, it's just seeing that, you know, like, even though kind of like you were talking a bit about, you know, if you are on one side, better for you to fully pledge to the one side than to be in the middle, because once you're in the middle, nobody wants you, nobody accepts you, and I can see people that are on the dark side, how, you know, they want like these things to happen in the world, and they want war to happen, and they want destruction. And I see also people that are in the light, and you can see that, you know, with fervent prayer and supplication to, you know, look to God, how God answers our prayer and how God answers our what we ask Him to, you know. And seeing also, like, when we ask God to send a legion of angels just to protect people or countries or friends or family member, how, you know, so many times, you know, they intervene. You know, we were talking to a very good friend of ours a couple of weeks ago, and she was just sharing with us one time she was flying, and, you know, she had this, she saw thousands of angels, you know, in the clouds, yeah. You know, and but they were just standing there because, you know, I guess not that they had no work, but nobody really was calling upon them, you know, through God, you know, and for us it's very important to do that because we're battling every single day, you know that when you are in the light and you know we get attacked all the time, you know that, you know, you're doing something really good, and the enemy doesn't want you to keep on moving forward because you are moving forward, you are going forward, and you are going to places where, you know, most people will never see or experience. And to experience the presence of God, and not just to experience His presence, but experience when He moves, you know, when He moves powerfully, it's an unbelievable feeling, but also you know, it can be a bit scary because you know how big our God is. You realize how minute we are, and how amazing he is. So, yeah.
You know, and along the same lines of that dear sister that we spent some time with recently, you know, I mean, with that ability to see into the realm of spirit. Because, you know, right now, I mean, that which is natural, that's, you see that with your natural eyes. But if you shift into another frequency, you see that which bleeds through between this reality and the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, you can see, you know, angels and demons and powers and all kinds of things going on. And when she saw that, you know, just to add to that, when she saw that these angels sitting in the clouds while she was flying, and she asked God, she's like, God, you know, what are they doing just sitting here? Because she saw thousands as far as she could see and through the window, and they were just sitting there. And she said, you know, she was talking to God, and she said, God, why, you know, don't, why are they sitting here? Shouldn't they be, you know, helping people? And there's all these things, and they're just sitting there. And God spoke to her and said, and she said, why are they here? And God said, because nobody's asked for them. And it struck her, you know, the thing was that, you know, and it goes back to that scripture, you have not because you ask not. You know, a lot of people pine away, but they don't access what's actually there for the asking. And, you know, but even with that too, you know, we, the way that it works is, and Jesus established it too, you ask the Father. You ask the Father, and He's the one that gives. Because He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. You know, if a son asks a father for a piece of bread, the father's not going to give him a stone. If he asks for an egg, he's not going to give him a scorpion. So, and our Father knows how to give good gifts. So, you know, we can ask, and He will give. And so when we ask God for angels to be sent to fight on our behalf and to war for us and to shield us and to protect us and to help us to, you know, bring light to carry, you know, that presence too along with us into the situations that God sends us, God will. That's what you got to understand, is God will. But you got to ask. You know, we are not passive, just passive agents in this whole thing. We have a role to play. We have a responsibility in what we do. And, you know, taking up that responsibility and being what God made you to be is part of the walk and part of the call. You have to take that responsibility upon yourself to be what God made you to be. Because otherwise, you know, you just kind of sit there and pine away at all that's happening and all that's taking place. And in that process, you know, you have something to do about it. You know, you have a role to play. You know, you don't just, you're not just helpless. And see, that's what the enemy would want you to think. You know, the enemy's worked very hard at his PR campaign to get you to think that you're helpless, to get you to think that you have no power. When, you know, a 12-year-old that walks with the Spirit of God can shut down a nation, if they know the power that works in them and the power that flows through them, if they're given over to the Spirit of God. If you knew that, you would then take it seriously, and you would pray, and you would learn to also expand your own thoughts and understanding about yourself. See, this is again why you got to get into the Word. You've got to get into the truth, because that Word is truth. All right, linking a few scriptures together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. Also, you know, He is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, that says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You know, He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. So that Word is truth. And that Word became flesh, and God made sure that we would also have the Word so that we would know what the truth is. And right now in the world that you live in, more than ever, you need to know what the truth is, not what the facts are, because the facts change, but you need to know what the truth is. And the only real truth in the world today is the Word of God. That's why the enemy's worked so hard to try to also undermine that truth. And that's also why you see the hand of God there preserving that truth, protecting that truth, ensuring that that truth is available to you this day so that you would know the way to go. Now, think about it. You know, if you're in a vehicle, that vehicle usually comes with an owner's manual, yes? If you buy a vehicle, in the owner's manual that comes with the vehicle will show you what you need to do to be able to function and operate that vehicle. So likewise, the Word of God, the Bible, which is the only truth in the world, that is your handbook for your life. That is your owner's manual for the life that you would live while you're here. And the Spirit of God is what opens it up and allows you to understand. It brings things to your understanding so that you would know this day the rhema of God. You would know this day what God is speaking to you. Because the rhema of God is what you need, the daily bread that you need for this day. That's different from the Logos, which is God's truth that exists in eternity, that is always there. But the rhema is that spoken word of God giving you what you need for this day. So when He tells you to go right, you go right. When He tells you to go left, you go left. When He tells you to whatever He gives you as far as direction and leading and guiding, God will speak it to you this day. And one way that He speaks is through the truth of His Word. This is why you can read a scripture and that scripture will jump off the page to you and it will speak to the situation that you're in. How many of you have done that? How many of you have had that? You've sat down, you've opened up the scriptures, you've struggled with a situation, you've opened it up, you've read it, or you've been listening to the word on maybe audio or something like that, and when you've read it, you've heard it, and something jumps off the page, and you're just like, wow, that is exactly what is going on with me right now. Well, where did that come from? Did that come from your own mind? No. It came from the Spirit of God that knows what you're dealing with this day. That is the rhema of God. That is the spoken word of God into your life this day. And God knows exactly what you need. He gives you this day your daily bread. That's what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. When they asked Him, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He said, part of the prayer was, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So you ask God for your daily bread. Where does that bread comes in the realm of the spirit. That bread comes in the realm of the natural. God will take care of your natural needs for the day, and God will take care of your spiritual needs for the day. You know, He will give you what you need for your spirit man. He will give you what you need for your natural man. You know, Jesus addressed the entire need of a person when He met them. You know, when Jesus would meet people, He would deal with the natural things that they needed. He would deal with the spiritual things that they needed. So when the 5,000 was there, and that in that situation, they just were counting the men. So 5,000 men, also a lot of women, also a lot of children, a lot of people were there. When God saw them, and He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, He gave them both the word, and He also gave them the provision that they needed for that time. God gave them the daily bread. And there was a natural example of a spiritual reality, too, that God was feeding them, that God was taking care of them. You know, when God did miracles and God healed people, He gave them a natural example of what He's doing in the realm of the Spirit. So those that were broken in the realm of the Spirit, God was healing. And that word was healing them. And He was also healing them in the natural to show the natural example of a spiritual reality. God does that. You know, even the temple, even the tabernacle, even the Ark of the Covenant, all were natural examples of a spiritual reality. And that's what you're supposed to get out of them. When you read the Old Testament, you're supposed to see and to understand the natural examples of a spiritual reality so that you would have what you needed to be able to understand God's goodness, God's love, but also His justice and His wrath, which are also another part of who He is. You know, sometimes people, they just want to pick and choose. They just want to pick and choose who the God is that they serve. And they try to treat Him like a buffet. You know, they just want to pick and choose little bits and pieces of Him. But, you know, God is not a buffet. It's a 7-course meal if you're going to walk with them. And you will eat all of it. You will take all of it within, and you will serve him for who he is, not for who you want him to be. Because, you know, he is God all by himself, not us. You know, for you to experience the fullness and the true lordship of him, you have to give yourself over completely to entirely who he is, not who you want him to be. Because, you know, we would do what the world would do, which is to transform God into our image and our likeness and try to make him something that's palatable unto us. But that's not the way it works. God wants to transform us into his image and his likeness. We transform from glory to glory and strength to strength. We get transformed into something that reflects the true image and the true likeness of God, not us making him to be what we want him to be. And that's where a lot of religions in the world get stuck, is that they want God to be like them. Whereas true freedom and salvation comes when he transforms us to be like him. But that only happens too when your free will is given over to him, not when you try to manipulate things to make them fit your agenda. And you know, the problem there too is you can find a lot of other people that'll do that with you. You can find a lot of other people that want to transform God to try to make him fit their agenda. And they all get together, they tap each other on the back and say, yeah, this is right, this is good. They create a denomination, they put a brand on it, they put a label on it. All of it's there, and they tell each other that they're okay. But then you end up with a Matthew 7 situation, where at the close of it, they say, didn't we do all these things, God, in your name? Didn't we do all these good works? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all kinds of stuff in your name? And he said, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. There's no consummation for them with the truth. There's no consummation for them with the true living God and who he really is. There is none. What they've known is the God they've made in their own image, in their own likeness, not him. They have not known the truth which would set them free, and so they remain slaves to the world and the world system. They remain slaves to their own lust. They remain slaves to a system that's at enmity with God, and they have a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. So it looks good, sounds good, but unless the Spirit of God would quicken them and show them, they miss it. And they miss it to their own destruction. They miss it to their own eternal loss. You know, a great prayer that my dad taught me to pray one time was, Lord God, if I'm missing it, would you please show me? Would you please reveal it to me? Because I don't want to miss you. You know, I don't want to miss what you're doing. I don't want to miss who you are. So, you know, for you and I, that's a great prayer to pray. Because sometimes, you know, the heart, you got to realize that the heart is deceitfully wicked. And the heart will deceive you. It will lead you into a way that if you're not willing to bring everything into the light, that you will be trapped by the darkness that you hold on to. So give all of yourself over to the true living God this day. Give 100%, hold nothing back, be a full-on player in the kingdom of God. You know, 100% of who you are, given over to 100% of him, of who he's revealed himself to you to be this day, and allow things to be what they are from there. So, Pat, any closing thoughts, any closing words, man?
He lives, and he lives. He lives, and keep seeking after him, keep at it, keep after him, and he will show you the way, you know. And as simple as every day's question that people have, you know, what way should I take? You know, should I go right or left? And he will answer you. You know, he will answer you, and just keep pressing on upon him, because that is the most important thing. One of my somebody that really helped me like along the way with my walk with Christ. One thing he always told me is, like, you know, the key about your walk with Christ is in a time of when things are not so good. How hard are you gonna go after Him when things are not so good and when things are good? Just to keep on going, keep on persevering in your walk, because that is the most important, to persevere along the way. Because you know there will be ups and downs, and there's always ups and downs. So to keep up and keep it on.
Amen, amen. So hey, just let you guys know out there, we love you. We're praying for you. We pray that God blesses you. Jana, you want to say a shout out? Okay, Jana's a little bit shy today. All right. Hey, so we love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can reach us through that, or you can also say hi through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, and you will find us there. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you sometime really soon. All right, God bless you. Bye.